Finally, to see what you've learned, have a go at the legislation hunt on the screen. You need to find where the relevant provision is in the legislation. To help you out, we've given you the piece of legislation. You just need to find the relevant paragraph, regulation or section. Type the number into the gaps. You don't need subsections. Once you have completed the task, hit the Enter key to see how well you did. The special accounting scheme is found in Regulation 20. Records should generally be kept for 6 years, according to Regulation 16. IPT returns are due at the end of the month following the period, in accordance with Regulation 12. Errors not exceeding £10,000 can be corrected on a subsequent return, in accordance with Regulation 13. Regulation 4 contains the notification of liability to register.
Paragraph 6 details the amount of the penalty for failure to register.
Group registration is covered in Section 63.
Our last look at IPT in this lecture concerns certain types of insurers. We'll first take a look at Lloyds. Where underwriting members of Lloyds receive taxable insurance premiums, they are liable to register and account for IPT. However, where such members are members of a syndicate, the syndicate may be registered instead. Where this occurs, registration is made in the name or number of the syndicate. This is provided for in Regulation 8 of Statutory Instrument 1774 of 1994. Each underwriting member of the syndicate and the managing agent of the syndicate are joint and severally liable for the IPT in accordance with Regulation 9(2) of the same statutory instrument. A syndicate can elect for Lloyds to act as its representative where it uses the special accounting scheme. Where this happens, Lloyds is also joint and severally liable for compliance with IPT legislation. If Lloyds is to act as the representative, customs need to be notified. The notice needs to specify the date from which Lloyds is to act. Where Lloyds accounts for IPT on behalf of a number of syndicates, it will need to complete a composite IPT return on Form IPT 100L for each accounting period. It can complete a composite return provided the syndicates have the same accounting periods. This is called Form Number 5 in the legislation. The composite return needs to be accompanied by a summary schedule of participating syndicates on Form IPT 100LS, which is numbered 6 in the legislation. We'll now look briefly at captive and mutual insurers. A captive insurer is a company set up to insure or reinsure risks of the parent company or founder. A captive insurer is liable to register and account for IPT on any taxable insurance premiums that it receives. Mutual insurance is a term which is applied to any collective insurance where the premiums and any investment income derived from the premiums are put into a fund, which is the property of the contributors. Reinsurance costs, management expenses and members' claims are paid out of the fund. The members of the mutual insurance fund are, in effect, both the insured and the insurer. However, as there is still a contract of insurance in place, the premiums paid are liable to IPT. One type of mutual insurance is offered by protection and indemnity clubs. The cover provided is primarily protection and indemnity in relation to commercial ships. Although much of the business underwritten by such insurers is likely to be exempt, as it falls within Schedule 7A of the Finance Act 1994, not all of the business underwritten by the club may be exempt. Where this occurs, the clubs will be liable to register and account for IPT unless the de minimis rule applies. Remember, we saw this rule in a previous lecture. Our final look at IPT in this lecture concerns unincorporated bodies. Where they receive taxable premiums, they are liable to register and comply with IPT obligations like other persons. Under Regulation 10 of Statutory Instrument 1774 of 1994, a joint and several liability is imposed on the following members. Every member holding office as President, Chairman, Treasurer, Secretary or any similar office, or, if there is no such office, every member holding office as a member of a committee by which the affairs of the body are managed, or, if there is no such office or committee, every member. This does not mean that all the above parties need to sign each IPT return, though. If there are no officers in the organisation, such as president, chairman, etc., and there is not a committee, then if any of the members completes the IPT return, the body is deemed to have complied with its obligations. Where the unincorporated body concerned is a partnership, each partner is jointly and severally liable for compliance with IPT obligations. This does not mean that every partner must sign the return. If one of the partners completes the IPT return, this will be deemed sufficient compliance by the partnership.